where are we at? Sajid, can you update us on the...
Yes, I finished the CPU part also.
What is remaining?
Only memory finished.
Okay.
These graphs are not... doesn't make sense. I'm not being able to read it. I have to...
I have to zoom it. I have to put the caption in a proper way, more readable way.
No, if you put here also sarcastic the bar, it will not be eligible, so...
Which one are you talking about? That one?
This one.
Yeah, so I think what you need to do is to reduce the number of levels maybe. Right now you have 7. Right, so 7 might be a bit too much for people to even remember which level is what and how much error.
Okay.
And also to be able to distinguish between the shades on black and white printing. I mean, these are the things that you need to be looking carefully into. And you need to, of course, provide that legend outside in detail. Say, okay, this shade is so much, this is so much error, this range, second shade is so much range. Have you thought about doing that?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that is going to be important for the readability of this, of these graphs.
Okay.
So what, so you have new graphs in there in the paper?
No, the CPU just finished modeling.
Okay, so you have the results and you need to make the
heat
maps. Okay. And what about the memory?
Memory still remains. I have to start.
So, I remember last time you said that you already...
Well, everything is ready, just I have to...
Run the
bench.
Okay. How long that's going to take?
That's the thing we are discussing, right? How long we should make it.
Right, so we discussed that already last time.
Yeah.
So, how long it will take then?
2 minutes for, I guess.
And how many experimental runs do you need?
I think at least 100.
100. That would be a few hours, maybe 3-4 hours. Okay. So, you should be able to finish that by today, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Right. Get the result as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the problem comes up.
Yeah.
The last minute problem.
Correct. So, if we need to have those numbers. What about the CPU numbers? How are they?
CPU is, I plot the median error and average error. It's 10%. Median error.
Median error is 10%. Okay. I see. So, that's the, so these are the prediction.
This is the CPU here?
No, there is no CPU. It's just finished right now.
Oh.
Okay.
So this one is what? These two?
These two. One is postmark, one is OLTP.
Okay.
And you're planning to make the heat maps for each case, right?
Or well, the heat maps, the OLTP is the most extensive one. For others, I would use only one heat map. Only, I mean, not with every parameter, just with a small, just to make it more prominent, but only one. Not fractal heat map.
Okay. I mean, is it true that there are, for the CPU benchmark, some of the parameters have no influence?
Yes.
Exactly. And then you can focus on those.
We can neglect and focus on only those which affect more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do we claim that some parameters have no influence?
Just looking at the result.
I see. I mean, is there a... I mean, there are some statistical tests that can be done to determine correlation levels between two parameters. I'm wondering if we should do some of those.
Yeah, you can do correlation coefficient.
Okay.
If you have to win two column, just on Excel, you can do the correlation coefficient computation.
Okay.
And you can have a table. What you can do is you can have a table for correlation coefficient between these like a matrix format. Here all the parameters, here all the parameters, and here you put the correlation matrix. From there you can figure it out that okay, which one has
correlation.
Which one has correlation.
Okay.
That's a one. one way of doing it.
Because we'll need some justification as to why we are just, you know, focusing on these, on, let's say, two of those parameters versus all four parameters.
Okay.
And because this is a research paper, we have to provide more scientific justification than to say that, well, manually there was no, you know, I could not figure out any coefficient as Sajib, right? I mean, there are established tests that will support that better, and it is easier to then justify your statements.
If you can do the table, that's the best thing to do. If you can't do the table, at least whatever column you think that correlation is zero, present that, okay, the correlation, this is non-dependent because the correlation coefficient between these two dimensions is this much.
Okay.
The right, if in the worst case.
Yeah. Okay, so that's for the CPU, and how about the memory?
Memory is remaining.
Memory will probably depend on quite a few things. It will depend on all four probably.
Probably.
Because if you give less CPU, it's going to take.
It's a CPU dependent benchmark after all.
It is CPU dependent. It's dependent on how much memory you have.
Yeah.
And how much I/O. Bandwidth you have, so you depend on all four parameters. Okay. And there were some issues with terms of the errors being too large on one of the benchmarks, right?
OLTP.
OLTP. Yes. So, that's a graph that you already had. It's a new one.
No, that's the same graph.
Okay.
It's just I have to reduce the heat level, as you said.
So, I mean, maybe the same heat levels are okay as long as, you know, you can visually distinguish between them. Can you visually distinguish between all heat levels?
I can't distinguish these. Yeah, almost.
Here I see 1, 2, 3, 4.
Black is higher, isn't it?
Black is higher. I see 4 heat levels.
What's on the scale? Cannot see anything on the scale.
You need to increase the font size. You know how to do that?
Uh-huh. You can have just one of these on the side.
Yeah.
Instead of have one on each kilogram. You know,
well, this longer one is for changing across these, right?
Really?
So as you go this way, which parameter is changing? Not at inside here, but across the...
It's ionized.
So this is ionized.
Ionized.
Ionized different... So each of these has a different ionized, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And as you go this way?
Is IO. Competing IO.
Competing IO. Okay. And then internally you have CPU and memory?
CPU X and memory
Y. Okay.
Is the scale the same for all the heat graphs?
All the heat graphs.
Yeah, so you can have the Y scale on the side. Yeah, or what I can do is just focus
like
on...
Can you do like this
way?
Like one...
Yeah,
there's
one peak scale.
And one ionized here.
Mm-hmm.
One...
Correct.
IO here. Uh-huh. Here you have IO hello, IO hello, IO hello, IO hello.
Right.
Get rid of all the details. Okay? And here, you have one big...
Right.
Heat map.
Right.
Inside, all you have is just a square box.
No, but where is the CPU and memory going to come from? Things. One of these need to show CPU and memory. Maybe you don't need to show it for everything.
No, I can show it in the caption that X represents each in each box. X represents gap.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But okay. You can keep this this axis titles here too. But just increasing the font size of these two.
Okay. But you'll also have to provide the values right inside the. That might make it...
Providing value will not... No one can see
no
it.
No one can see that, yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is you can make one heat map bigger one.
That's the easier way.
One heat map bigger one and just show that scale so you can hang it off.
Okay, yeah. Well, so I guess you need to play with the different possibilities.
At least get rid of all these levels. You don't need that. Because this,
remove the labels.
These labels, you don't need that. You should be able to do it by just two scale.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot of redundancy, right? Here you have the same information.
Okay.
And here you have the same information. So,
or maybe just instead of doing like this, you just place labels here.
Right. Yeah, it's up to you. Whichever you think is easier to do, and is clear enough. Okay.
So what's the square then? What's the numerical value of square?
It's 0 to 7. 0 is the lowest error, 7 is the highest error.
7 represents how much?
It's
oh, here? Okay.
64% or more level.
64%. Oh. So now, so these blank places are where you have highest errors.
Highest errors.
There's quite a few there.
So that's the case with... That is which one? OLTP.
Yeah.
This is also OLTP.
Mm-hmm.
So they print very differently, right?
Mm. Yeah.
On depending on the printer, so right. We have to be careful, and that's why I think it's better to have fewer levels than more, because some
okay.
printers may not be able to clearly distinguish. For instance, in this figure, I can only see 1, 2, 3, 4 different levels.
Wait. Yeah.
5. But there are supposed to be 7.
Yeah.
So many levels doesn't make any difference. I'll say like one is 0 to 5%, another is 5 to 10%, another is above 10 to 20, another is to above 20 probably. Something like that probably. Because
yeah.
whether it's a 32 to 64% or 64% or more, it's not any different to us. It's bad.
Correct.
Okay. Good.
So maybe you can do 1, 3, 9, 27 and everything about that.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a reason explanation for the high error rates here? Yeah, it's because there is a clear distinction because all these blacks, most of the black ranges, black spots came from lower memory region, very low. It's 100.
Okay.
So in when you actually stresses your system to a great level. Your accuracy sacrifice. But if you go from more relaxed scenario, it is more likely that the ANN will predict more
but
accurate.
These blank spots are here, right? These blank spots are where you have plenty of resources, is it?
It's not plenty of resources. You can think that in this case, maybe the memory is more, but your competing IO has increased a lot.
I see. Okay. I see. Yeah, we need to have a good explanation for this certificate.
So, have you started populating some text to go along with the figures?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what are the primary figures? Are these the error distributions, the primary figures, and then the detailed ones are the heat maps?
Detailed ones are the heat maps.
So, are you like
okay.
7 means lower priority or higher priority?
Lower priority.
I don't know whether it's just a coincidence, because if you look at this one doesn't have any black. This is the best result.
That's true. No. Sorry.
Do you know when she'll be back?
Yeah, because I have no idea when she'll be here.
Thanks.
Close the door. Too many people.
I don't know, it may be coincidence, or you may want to give some thought and try to deduce something from that.
So when the IO competing IO is high and the bandwidth is high as well.
Yeah, because if you take a quadrant kind of thing, then because typically what you do is you create a quadrant and then this is high kind of thing.
Hmm.
There you are getting high good result, whereas in other quadrant, in some cases you are not getting good result. So, whether you wanted to do something from there or not.
The other thing is you need to change the width of some of these boxes, right? And see if they're all supposed to be uniform. So did you figure out why you have these unusual boxes?
I tried it. It's always giving me this kind of figure. This kind of rectangular shaping.
So, no, the size of these boxes are all different. You see? They're
all
supposed
different.
To be of the same size.
The middle one is more inflated.
Middle and this way, both ways. So you see, this way is inflated and this way also is inflated.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it because of the memory? How many scale you have? How many scale you have on the x-axis and how many scale you have on the y-axis?
Three.
No, it's not proportional to the values on the x and y-axis.
It's not proportional.
Yeah, because there are no values being assigned there.
No.
For the x and y, correct?
Yeah.
It's a simple grid. So I don't know why it's changing so much for the middle levels. Send me a sample of your GNU plot file.
Okay.
It should be something very straightforward to fix that, I think. We'll see.
I think if you can get rid of the scale, get this vertical scale, bring it here, then you can little bit widen it.
Yeah.
Little bit, you get rid of this level, so you can make it a little bit bigger. That will make it more readable and maybe this.
What you need to do is export one of these guys as EPS, as FIG format.
Okay.
So once you put it into FIG format, then you can manipulate the image whichever way you want. And then you can, create a large single image with just the error box. That's one possibility that you might want to think about.
Okay, so that's the one thing. What else?
Okay, so Sajib, what are the remaining items for the paper?
It's definitely the results section has to be appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
With what view and memory notes of this change.
Okay.
I think I need some discussion on the training procedure.
Okay.
Because you remember that on Monday I was telling the CPU was getting me inconsistent results, and that's why ANN cannot figure it out. But I just changed that data set, and the ANN works properly.
I don't. So what do you mean by change the data set?
Data set is that in ANN I figured out that thing is that you need to cross the boundary somehow.
You need to span all the points.
Not all the points, but you somehow need to point to the boundary.
What boundary?
Boundary means that you need to cover the lower range, you need to cover the uppermost range.
Yeah.
Otherwise, ANN cannot figure out.
Yeah.
Basically, it can't extrapolate. That's what it's saying. It can interpolate.
Uh-huh.
If you give lower boundary, upper boundary, it can interpolate.
Yeah.
But if you give the upper boundary, if you don't give the upper boundary, you can't extrapolate. It can go outside the boundary.
Okay. So, could it be the same problem with the OLTP?
No, OLTP, everything is inclusive.
So OLTP, you touched all the boundaries. And
yeah.
So, okay, yeah. Alright, so let's... Once you have the memory benchmark, then we'll be done with all the results. And so there is some discussion with the training procedure. If it's a standard assumption with ANN that you need to at least touch all the boundaries, then we don't really need to talk a whole lot about that. But I think what we need to say possibly is the number of training data and versus the testing data to say, okay, these are all the training points that we used and testing.
The number of training points.
Yeah. So
actually, I haven't discussed a lot about the number of data sets we used here while plotting.
You haven't or have?
I haven't.
Okay, so
Is it important, you think?
I think it is important.
Because results, the average or median, you know, that could be biased depending on the number of data sets we used.
Right. So I think we probably need a graph where we show the average error, let's say, as you increase the size of the training data. In fact, I mean, given your current set of results, we could already plot some graph like that, right? And then say, okay, with a certain amount of training data, our error stabilizes after a while, right? So, or if you have too few, then you have too high error. As you increase the number of training points, your error starts decreasing, and beyond a certain point, maybe, I mean, this training problem is sort of a classic thing, right? I mean, people have used it in so many different domains, and there are well-known questions here, which is, first is,
how much
underfitting versus overfitting, right? So if you have too little training points, the model cannot capture the system's behavior completely.
Mm-hmm.
If you have too many, then the model is overfit.
Actually, that's also the case.
Yeah.
If you feed too much data into the training procedure, it also gives the wrong impression.
So for each benchmark, you probably need to have that that additional graph which says, okay, where is the optimal range for
average error versus the training size.
Yeah. Okay. And that you can use, in fact, to get better heat maps, possibly, because then you will know, once you have this graph, then you know which points to pick, how many training points to use, which will give you the best average error. Because right now you just pick at random, correct? So I think we need to be a little bit more systematic about the training process. And that's where our discussion needs to expand a little bit more.
Other thing that we discussed also before, but I think you already have the data, we can get it, is the time performance of the ANN algorithm. How much time?
Oh, yeah, that's important.
How much time it takes to training?
I don't have graphs, so I have to just...
Well, you can do it now, actually, because as you change the training size, you measure error
versus time.
And you also plot time.
Okay,
so get both pieces of information with this one experiment.
How do you sample your training data?
Sample?
How do you choose your training data?
Training data is just some random data.
But you said that there needs to be coverage, right?
Yeah, the middle points are random, but the end points
are fixed.
End points are fixed, kind of that.
I see.
Random by random meaning you do it uniformly or arbitrary random?
No, it's just like that, you choose a cap, you assume that you won't go beyond that cap. Or you choose a memory, and you assume that you won't go beyond that, something like that.
I see. I think what Ming is trying to say is that the training has to be unbiased,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you bring your thoughts into the training process, that requires human expertise. And in fact, sometimes human expertise is also not perfect, right? So we need to have a systematic process of choosing the training set. And to say, well, in the case of ANN, we cannot but have the boundary points. So we have that, and then we choose some additional points at random without having you thinking, okay, this CPU cap should be this, or doesn't make sense to go beyond that. I think that's what we need to address. Can we do that? I mean, do we have all such points that we can pick at random?
No, it's hard. No, I don't have all that points.
Maybe you can pick at random from the set of points that you have.
For the training, you
say? For the training, yes.
Okay. That is possible.
And do this experiment where you change the size of the training data, I mean the training set, and measure the average error and also measure the time. So we can have, you know, some sort of, where you can have two axes, and you can show it on the same graph, right? So you have average percentage error, and here you change, what are you changing?
Training data size.
Training data. Okay.
And this is, yeah, how many number of points. Exactly. And so you have something like this, and maybe after a while it starts getting worse.
This is the error, right?
Yeah. Average percentage error. And then you have the other axis where you take training time.
What's the typical training time like?
Training time for, let's say, you have, because on an average I'm using 100 training
time. I'm not sure if it's linear or maybe it's something exponential.
It's fast, almost 1 minute, 2 minutes.
1 minute, 2 minutes. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Perfect.
Because then in terms of the increases below a few minutes or below sub-minute set time, then we can discuss about the online
thing. Online thing, yeah.
And that point. You can go through the discussion of online thing at that point. So I think what you have to do on the experimental section is section it. First, you describe the experimental setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you section it like a well, these are the first is
first one,
the percentage error for different types of benchmark. That's a section one, one subsection. Under that, postmark, OLTP, what are the other things?
Okay, let me write them.
Then you go for the performance evaluation or the ANM. Then you get this graph. So,
there are pros and cons of organizing according to benchmarks versus organizing according to metrics, right?
Yeah, either or is good thing.
Because, for instance, if we organize according to metrics, then there is this error, which might be a bloated subsection because you have all these. Maybe we should further split that based on the high level where you just show these first set of graphs with distribution of, you know, just a single graph with points, and then with the heat maps, maybe you can discuss it at a later point. If you combine everything in one section, that section might become too big,
mm-hmm.
right? The advantage of organizing according to benchmark is that you discuss all the aspects of the benchmark in one place. Right, so if you present the graph, you show the heat map, you can correlate, you can use one graph to explain maybe some things in the other, and it becomes coherent. So I think there are pros and cons of organizing one way or the other. And I think after we have some write-up for each of those, then we'll have a better idea which is a good combination of this. But the key would be to have all the material written out, right, and all the graphs in place, and then we can reshuffle it more easily.
Okay.
Okay, so memory benchmark is remaining, right?
It's completely remaining, yeah.
And then you need to do these graphs, which is the sensitivity to the training data.
Yeah, for these I will only choose one benchmark, not for four. I don't have a lot of data points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, OLTP, I have many data points, so probably it's easier to pick up.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I think that's
because fine. It's on the training data size.
That's right. And it could also be that based on this graph, you can actually improve the heat maps. Right? Because if that graph tells you, okay, this is the optimal training set that you should be using,
mm-hmm.
in terms of average error, then you can use that to get your new error output. Does that make sense or no?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
See if that...
When is it due?
Monday.
Oh, I thought it's Tuesday. Okay.
No, it's Monday actually, and it's 8 p.m. for us.
8 p.m.
Yeah. 8 p.m.
Yes. Okay.
That's
good.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
but how
things
to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
time to speed up.
This figure needs some improvement.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that I wanted to discuss today.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was it for my first try.
I think we can revise it now if you want to. After we finish with all the experiments, are you more or less okay with the discussion of the experiments? Are there some outstanding things that you want to talk about?
No, I'm fine. But these curves are okay to put into this.
Well, I think what you need to think about is the message in the evaluation.
I also put comments about this curve.
And the flow of all the material that you present, all the data that you present. Does your all this data are complementary? Or you have repetition. If there is repetition, maybe one of those graphs are not required, right?
Okay.
So think about those things. And you can also make table, for instance. If you want to show summary information, you can make tables to say, okay, average, maximum, standard deviation, things like that.
For all the benchmarks?
Yeah.
Make a table and for four benchmarks. What is the minimum, what is the average, what is the median, and what is the max?
Yeah.
Something like that. And what is the standard deviation?
Yeah. And then you can post, for instance, for the heat maps, if, for instance, you use only two axes for the CPU benchmark, then you need to talk about things like correlation coefficient for the remaining two to say, well, that's the justification for why we don't consider those other two axes.
Okay,
so, all right, so I think, Sajeev, if you can finish up the, or at least some complete draft of the experiment section by tomorrow, then it will give us some time for revision. Okay, so by tomorrow night. Okay, so.
The only thing I have to pick up on is the memory. Other than that, everything I can finish by tomorrow. So what I do is that all I have, I put this graph and heat map with better heat map and everything, and also the comments about the evaluation. Everything by tomorrow, and apartly and separately, I will continue on memory benchmark after tomorrow.
That's fine. I think that makes sense. All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
We'll comment on the architecture section so that I can.
Yeah. So let's. I think we should talk about the figure, right? So I remember that Sajeev used to make this figure, which I thought was, in some sense, giving more information than what we have here. And this is a figure that we also used in the beginning to have. Multiple VMs and SLAs and all those things.
Yeah, but I was not sure because we're not talking about that in this paper. That's the main problem. Because this paper is about modeling the application. Yes, the broader goal is that one, but we are nowhere near that goal.
Yeah, but that still can be our background, right? Like sort of like a big picture. And
then that figure should not go into the architecture section. That figure should come in the introduction section probably.
Yeah, introduction. Yeah, but we can have that big picture as our overall view.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe on the side we can have another picture like this that focus on the component that we are targeting in this paper. So we can.
Because the objective of what I wanted to do on this figure is okay, what is the architecture in our environment really? What that we are talking about? What we are exactly modeling?
Okay. So
I think in the introduction it requires a big picture. The big picture needs to be brought into the introduction, and the whole flow of the thing needs to be discussed.
So I'm rereading that HP paper. So they have this two-layer control architecture, right? They have application layer controller, which is responsible for modeling the application resource demand and make predictions. And then they have the second layer, which is so-called a node controller, which is responsible for allocating resources. I guess in our Evision dark texture, we have similar two-layer approach, right? We can have a similar two-layer picture as our background, our introduction, and
Then we have, we have another graph similar like this that we will be focusing on the application controller, if that's what we call true, right? And inside of the application controller, what it does is actually monitor the parameters that we are actually monitoring, right? And then we use those parameters, feed them into a module which does the modeling, right? And in the end, the results from the ANN will be fed back to get our prediction, right? That's our basic approach, right? So we can have this kind of a closed loop that links all the different components. That would be probably what we need,
mm-hmm.
right?
So Sajid, can you like make a mini version of that figure that you had before? I think that was a good one, which we can expand upon. The overall big picture.
System, so.
Yeah.
So I guess in the introduction,
mm-hmm.
and something like Kaushik, we can look at our big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the VMM.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our then we have VM. So it's 1, 2, n. Then each VM is one is CPU and one main. Are you?
Yeah, we can actually use edges very to show that, well, these are allocations, to say, okay, some of these are allocation edges, some of these are, you know, result edges or output edges, things like
this
that.
This is the application performance metric that we said.
Yeah.
So that's our Google picture, and
so we can use different arrow types to show that, well, what these each of these mean.
Yeah, these are the inputs and this is the output.
Yeah. It's not the input, rather it's the allocation.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have application metric, and then what's the next step?
The next step is that you feed it to some ANN.
Uh-huh.
Also this.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be like your model, application model.
And where is the prediction going to be used? So now I have a model, right? And
you could say that.
Where is the DOM zero? I guess we probably don't want to make it Zen specific at this point.
No, that's why I am.
So okay, yeah, we don't need DOM zero. Yeah, it's a general virtualization. Okay, so.
And now there can be a separate arrow. This is the input set.
Hmm.
And this is our predicted output.
Using ANN again.
ANN again, because you are using the ANN.
One is for the training. The first one you get for the training, and the green one is for the actual prediction.
Actual prediction.
Now, what is the out arrow going for application model? Where is that going?
I'm sorry, this should be not an arrow. This is a label.
Also,
the ANN itself is the application model in our case.
Oh, okay. like a reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where is the SLA here?
No,
no, you need to get the painted result, I think. Painted result and then go back to the another controller, where the controller will take the take it from the all the different painted result and take the SLA. Okay.
Yeah, but we are not talking about the SLA in this case, right?
That's the point. Then you have to change the interaction criteria. This one will go to the SLA. Then we'll have
a. Do we talk about SLA in the introduction?
No.
Okay, so then maybe we shouldn't even put it in the figure.
That's my concern. I think that will confuse the.
So,
if you big picture is good, but too big picture may. Because you may say, okay, then it's not there.
But this is our current picture, actually.
This is our current.
So this then should go into the section 3, right?
Architect.
Go into section 3?
Mm-hmm.
Something like this? Is that what we have now, or somewhat different?
No. This is section. This one is fairly complete for the Zen architecture.
Okay. So now for the Zen architecture, maybe we don't need to worry about Zen architecture, right? In section 3? In the figure, rather.
In the figure.
Can we?
Because when you identify the parameter, then you go to talking about the Zen. Before doing that, you have to talk about the host architecture.
Hmm.
Because when you identify the parameter, so what is the parameter for the CPU, what is the parameter for the IO, then it has to be Zen specific. It can't be generic.
Hmm.
So maybe there is another, in the section 3, there is another discussion that needs to be done, generic discussion that needs to be done before the current one.
Yeah.
With this one, based on this one, that okay, this is what we want to do.
Yeah. I think this discussion can be even a separate section before we actually go into the details of the
maybe
different resources with Zen, the parameters,
maybe an approach section on before the architecture and model. Maybe we can have an approach section.
Yeah.
In section 3 and make the architecture and model as a section 4.
Yeah. I mean, even if this is some sort of high level architecture, right?
It's more of an approach, isn't it?
Okay.
Whatever we can say, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that. Those generic discussion needs to be separated from our specific implementation, right, in architecture. So this figure I like, and do we need the SLA discussion is the question. I mean, can a reader see how this is going to be used without any discussion about it?
Have you talked about the SLA discussion in the beginning? I don't think so.
No, I don't think.
My concern is that a reviewer might not be able to immediately
understand
the use of this of whatever we are trying to achieve in this figure, right?
That's why I put the section 3.2. Maybe we can try to move that one somewhere else.
Maybe it should go in the generic approach, right? And instead of in the introduction, maybe the introduction keeps at a high level, and then the generic approach we can say background and approach or something like that, or context. And then we can have a discussion about this view and then connect it to the SLA.
With this figure, I draw another figure and give you a approach section, and then send it to you by tomorrow noon or something like that.
Okay, yeah, that would be great.
And you might try to take another look on that.
Yeah. And in the meanwhile,
I think this portion is very important.
Very important.
Very
yeah.
important for the paper.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this section will help. You know, once we connect it to the usage.
Yeah.
In a administration scenario with the SLA and things like that, I think that will help. You know, to motivate the reader more about why this is important.
Yeah.
Right.
What tool do you use to draw the graphs, figures?
I use Xfig.
Yes, old school guy.
Yeah. It's the only reasonable drawing tool I have on Linux.
No, there is another one.
Another one?
OpenOffice.
OpenOffice.
Yeah. I use OpenOffice to draw. What do you use?
I'm a Microsoft guy. I was a Microsoft Office. Yeah.
Microsoft Office. PowerPoint.
Some of the other students...
I use PowerPoint also, but sometimes transferring the PowerPoint to the PS becomes difficult.
I just compare to image, to PNG.
To PNG.
Yeah.
Now, let's first say, look at the Open Office draw. It's, what I did, I ran it on Windows, but it can be run on Linux also. I love it than XP, actually. I used to use XP.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so this figure is nice, and then do we need a more specific figure for Zen? I guess so, right? It seems like we need to address some of the Zen specific parameter issues with the other figure.
This is a motivational picture, right? In architecture.
This would go in the new section 3.
New section 3.
And we might need another one in section 4.
That's then specific.
What is PML?
Virtual machine motivation.
Hello.
Virtual machine monitor.
I'll what I'm doing right now is making another RU supplement for my career. So I thought that I'll do all of that together. Can we do that tomorrow? Okay. All right. Well, thanks for checking, and so I'll give it to you sometime by tomorrow. All right. Thanks, Scott. Bye.
I don't think that then bigger can be more specific than this. This is already specific enough.
Mm-hmm. Except that in the Zen figure, we can talk about the other two parameters, like IO nice and competing IO from other domains.
But we already have those parameters here, right? We have 4 IO.
No, actually, this will change. Uh-huh. This should not be IO and IO nice.
Should we just be parameter 1, 2, 3, 4?
Like CPU in general, memory,
uh-huh.
Disk IO,
and network.
In IO.
And in our specific system, we are only experimenting with
CAP, XMM, ionize, and
ionize. I think we should know this one, and we need to change the current figure one. We need to be more detailed on the current figure one, probably.
Yeah.
I think current figure one is more for Zen, right?
That is for Zen. That is very specific for Zen. But that needs to be detailed, depending on some...
For that figure, I think what we need to... Do we need to capture this before we erase, or you already have it?
I have it.
So you have... So this is Zen, right? So we have one...
Dom zero.
And...
Maybe you want to look at this figure and give it.
Okay, and then we have block back. Should we do block back here? I think it would.
I think so.
Yeah.
Block back.
One, so on. I guess the DOM needs to be bigger somehow because it needs to put in a lot of things there. And then these are
all the IOs you need to show it that is going through DOM 0.
Yeah, so something like this. And then you have, so here we have the control parameters. Then we can put control parameters here, up here. CPU, nice. No, cap.
Cap.
And memory.
IO nice.
IO nice comes here.
Mm-hmm.
IO nice.
And IO is actually the measured. It's not a direct parameter.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the result.
That's a good point. So what we can do is these are control. I mean, we need to have different arrows for control parameters. And another arrow for monitored parameters, and maybe something else for output we need.
if we need one. I don't know if we need one or not. So where are we monitoring this guy?
In down zero.
So maybe we can. I don't know if we may make an arrow or something here for completing. One.
Yeah, it's an output.
Here again. Here ionize one.
And a pen.
And then my pins. One. And these are all in M. CPU. Yeah. And something like this. And then we have actually this red arrow can be control flow.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of output parameters, we can make this control flow.
What is control flow?
Control flow is that our, so first VM1 is going to issue IO request by invoking block back device driver in DOM 0, which will then send out a request to the actual VMF, right? Or actually, no, it doesn't even go through VMF.
No, it should be.
This should go directly out from
VMF. Should stop here.
Good point. Yeah.
It should be deep.
Yeah. So this should go for. That's the wrong color. But
okay. So that should be
red in color.
The IO part.
Yeah. This is the IO part. And this guy will stop here.
Yes, exactly.
And here again, we have CPU here also, right? For cap DOM 0, memory DOM 0.
Yes.
This becomes fairly detailed, so maybe it should be like a full page, mm-hmm. full or double column figure. Oh, by the way, we are not in the right format for the conference.
LCNS style.
Yeah. So, you know how to change the LaTeX formatting?
No, I have to.
Okay, I'll do that because we have another paper that's going to the same conference.
That's what I asked Vikas over. He said he's using the UNIX format.
You know, he's not involved in the writing, that's why. So, so I'll change that. But what's going to happen is that our columns are going to shrink. So we don't have like 1-inch margins, but 1.5-inch margins on either side. That is
one and a half inch margin.
1.5-inch on both sides. Oh. So anyway, so we have and it's only single column.
Oh, single column.
Single column. Yeah. So
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll change that. It's easy to change that. So yeah. So this is sort of we can have a draft of something like this,
mm-hmm.
and. We can refine it later on. So Kaushik, you want to also do this one?
Yes, sir.
Take the first draft of this one, and then
my only challenge is I'm not sure whether I can save it on XSPIC format. What is the extension for XSPIC?
No, I mean if you want to do it in draw.
Then what will you do?
I'll use draw. OpenOffice. I have OpenOffice on my Linux machine.
You have OpenOffice on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then it's fine. Okay. Then I'll
use. Whatever you prefer.
Okay.
Or if you want to do XSPIC, that's fine. Because I actually know how to use it. Though I have to figure it out, but I'm sure it'll be easy. What else should go in there? I mean, how's the VMM interaction with the VMs?
VM interaction should be
shouldn't it be the like the allocations coming on from
do VMM, it should be CPU.
Yeah.
And there.
Yeah. Hey, couple of minutes?
Yeah. Below VMM there should be CPU and then they are the controlling
one.
But CPU name instead of arrowing from
up there, it can come from below.
It can come
okay.
From below.
Okay, good point. Yeah. Okay, so when should we meet next? I guess
probably we'll have time to meet.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We'll have to coordinate over email.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can.
I think we should at least meet at least for a few minutes on Monday, probably.
Monday morning?
Okay. Maybe Monday 11 o'clock or something like that. Just.
Yeah. Earlier the better, right?
Yeah.
So.
But that's nice. The last minute. Last minute will be. I think we'll be busy with the finalized.
Electronic is fine
yeah.
with me. I'm comfortable with that also.
I'm okay. I'll be here.
I don't mind. See you. Let's proceed with this one and see where we are on Monday. And I think accordingly, if we decide that, if we feel there is a need to discuss something, then we can meet. Otherwise, we can just proceed. Or in the worst case, we can have a phone conference or something like that.
Yeah. Skype, do you guys use Skype?
I have it. I don't use it.
We can do Skype conference.
Okay.
Needed.
I use all different kinds of MSN, Yahoo Messenger,
iTalk, everything.
Now you have an iPhone, so you can use Skype on your cell phone.
Yeah, but you have different kinds of iPhone.
Okay. All right, good.